If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you, Judy. What I found interesting about this chapter is the more I looked at it, the more I chewed on it. Even though hospitality is just mentioned once in this chapter, if you look at the whole chapter in light of hospitality, it is everywhere in this. And as we look at this idea of going through to open door hospitality, I want to unpack three principles from the text. So first, being intentional to go through to open door of hospitality by first being transformed. Second, by operating in your gifts. And third, by actively blessing others. So let's hit that first one. Be intentional to go through the open door of hospitality by being transformed. Verses 1 through 3, if you're following along with me in Romans, what he says in verses 1 through 3, he's summarizing the therefore. You see, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore. This is chapter 12 of Romans. So if you've read 1 through 12, you kind of know what he's talking about. And the whole first part of Romans is dealing with the salvation that we have received. Paul goes into some of the greatest depths of theological understanding of salvation in Romans. And in light of all that God has done for us, he is saying, therefore. And this idea is we cannot practice biblical hospitality unless we have been transformed first. If you and I have not been transformed by the gospel, if we have not received God's mercy, understanding how much we've been forgiven, our hospitality will either be to gain favor or to somehow earn favor with God. We will always have a tainted reason for being hospitable. We will only be hospitable to those who will benefit us. But when we have received the true gospel into our hearts, understand the mercy and grace God has given us, we can truly begin to practice biblical hospitality. I'm reminded of that phrase Jesus said, feed those who cannot repay you. Do you remember that? Show hospitality to the one who can never give it back. That is so contrary to how the world thinks of hospitality. Often the world regards hospitality, it's a means by which we gain favor or gain reputation or seek to ultimately bless ourselves by how we treat others. So we cannot begin to practice biblical hospitality until we are transformed. So you see in this beginning verses, it says, I appeal to your brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, which he's been talking about, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We cannot put others above ourselves until we understand the gospel many times. So secondly, not only do we go through the door of hospitality by being transformed by the grace of God. Second, be intentional to go through the open door of hospitality by operating in your gifts. You see here in verses 4 through 8, sometimes we feel like we can't match up to the Martha Stewarts in our life. Maybe you are comparing yourself to someone else and you say, if only I had that kind of house, If only I made that kind of money, then I would be hospitable, right? If I just had a big enough table. All these different things. We compare ourselves to others, and in so doing, we say, I just can't do that. But what I found is interesting, and I imagine Tim and Wynn have seen this. When I was overseas, going into some homes of people that did not make much money at all, I saw hospitality that blew me away. There was self-sacrificial hospitality. And many of you that have gone into other settings, it's not only the rich that can be hospitable. It is for all of us. And all of us will do it in our own way. What Paul's talking about here is in whatever gifts you have, use those. Do you see here the gifts of hospitality? Do you see that? It's not. One of these is not the gift of hospitality. Everybody's commanded after these gifts to show hospitality. So some people will just say, well, I just don't have the gift of hospitality. That's not my gift. That's not an option for you. You may not have one of these other gifts, but you can show hospitality through the gifts God has given you. You can put others above yourself and prefer and honor others with whatever gifts you have. So we all will do it differently. So I encourage you, don't compare yourself to others. But it's really a matter of the heart and whether are you putting others above yourself, are you using those gifts that God's given you to show his love to others. So not only can we go through the open door hospitality by being transformed and by operating in our gifts, finally, number three, be intentional to go through the open door of hospitality by actively blessing others. So if you look at verses 9 through 21, lots of commands. There's lots of imperatives here. But if you look at the very beginning of that, he says, let love be genuine. And then all the commands after that are elaborating on this idea of genuine, real love. And hospitality is included in that. And what I've seen in my own life, and in maybe you have seen this, is hospitality doesn't just happen, does it? It takes intentionality. If I approach life passively, I will not be hospitable. If I am absorbed with myself and my own family, I will not be hospitable. Hospitality involves planning in your budget. It involves planning in your time. It involves your focus and purpose even in life. And today I was going to say, how can we move beyond just principles, me talking about? And I thought, now the ones I'm going to call up are not the only ones here that are hospitable, but these are some folks that were available and that I've personally benefited from their hospitality. And over the 7 years I've been here, have seen and heard great stories of this. So don't feel like if I didn't call you up, I'm leaving you out. I'm sure there's many here to do this, but yeah. But I'd like to ask Ray Nethery. He's going to represent Ray and Eunice, and Steve and Deb McKee, Tom and Kathy Russell, and Steve Phillips come up here. So I've set some chairs up for you. I guess we could reserve the tall one for the tall guys, maybe, but they're going to come up, and while they're coming up, I want them to be thinking about, I didn't give them the question, so they may be a little nervous. So I want you to be thinking about what changes to your time management, lifestyle, or budget had to be made in order to make biblical hospitality a priority in your life. So I'll mention that again. They're probably distracted getting a seat here. And I have this mic here, and what I often see is we'll see a principle in Scripture, but we may say, yes, that's right, yes, that's true, and then we go home, and we're like the person that looks in the mirror, and you may say, I guess I'm not hospitable, I should work on that, and then we go home and forget what we look like, and just fall into the back into the old habits. So I wanted to bring up some folks that I know over the course of their life have made this idea of biblical hospitality a priority. These are some of our seasoned members, and I wanted to hear what are the challenges and how has this what changes have you had to make in how you lived to be hospitable? So I would like you just so you don't feel like you're all saying the same thing, maybe share a brief personal story of how this has blessed or been a challenge and then a blessing in light of that. So I'll start here with Steve. So I'll repeat the question for you. So what changes to your time management, lifestyle, or budget had to be made in order to make biblical hospitality a priority in your family's life?
Yeah, I think...
Bring it close to your mouth if you can. Yep.
Pam's, a lot of the hospitality that was expressed in our household was a lot of the extra responsibilities fell on Pam's shoulders as far as cleaning and so forth. I'll give her honor that way. But anyway, she, getting the house ready is an effort to, and I think that sometimes it's a deterrent of us wanting to open our houses up or open our time up with people. So that was that's one thing I think of. But.
Okay.
Pass on that.
Sure.
In couples, maybe you've seen that opposites attract. And so Deb is an extrovert, and I'm an introvert. And so we have to plan our hospitality around those two character traits, I guess. When we entertain, Deb is energized. When our guests leave, she is so pumped up. When our guests leave, I am drained on the floor. But we work together for this, and so I do a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I'll let Deb explain the rest.
I think that's really an important thing to mention, and that's one thing we talked about as we agreed to do this, because, you have to both be on the same page, and then see, I'll even say a step further, what Steve said about getting the house ready, I have two comments to make on that. So I'm getting a couple comments or thoughts together here. This may be a book that when I started coming to this church in 1975, this was floating around, and it is, and Ray said he was thinking of this book as well. It's a wonderful book. And one thing that I remember, it's called Open Heart, Open Home by Karen Burton Maines. She's a pastor's wife. And I think one thing that I learned, and this was, as a single, because again, our household, we were trying to, open it up as well. But she really emphasizes in here, never, if you're going to work for perfection to have people in, or, and this is assuming that hospitality is just in your home, which I don't believe it is based on what Eric just shared and just the definition in the dictionary as well. Mm. But I think that, it's not perfect. And if you appear that you have a perfect situation, I think you make people even feel more comfortable when it is not perfect. And I think, so that's an encouragement and an exhortation for all of us that we don't have to have perfection. And we have a friend who we just got an email from who, I'm not sure I can quote this, so you'll have to help me out, but he said, we would like you to come over for supper. I was hoping to have the lawn tidied up and all the weeds taken care of, but that's never going to happen. So come and eat and enjoy our weeds. And I think that really sums, when we got this email yesterday, I think that really sums up, kind of, don't you think, this book of just that openness and, come see how we really live. This is who we are. So I think there's freedom in that. So that's important. And now I've forgotten my other thing that I was going to say, so I'll pass it to Ray, and if I think of it,
okay, I'll pitch it for Ray. I would say that our game plan oftentimes was, Kathy would say to me, will you take care of the socializing and I'll take care of the food? And so we were ready to roll because I was the one who was more the extrovert and Kathy was the behind the scenes and she would knock out the food and they would all compliment me. So that worked out really well. But this has been, I've been blessed to be now 45 years almost of the hospitality that Kathy has in her, and it's truly one of her gifts.
Okay. I just got home from Texas late yesterday, and Tom hit me with this as we were falling asleep last night that we were doing this today, so I haven't had a lot of time to think about it.
At least I communicated a little bit.
But Tom has always been very hospitable. I remember before we got married, he was living on his own, and my mom used to joke that he brought home stray people like most people bring home stray dogs. He always had somebody that had just moved in because they needed a place to stay for a while, and so I kind of learned early on that that was the way it was going to be at our house. So we have taken in a number of people over the years that needed a place to stay, you know, for a few days or a few months or whatever. And, you know, it's challenging to bring people into your home to stay with you, but like Deb said, they just have to take you as you are. So you can't worry, weeds at all, you can't worry about it. But, yeah, I do enjoy serving other people, and I am behind the scenes. I love the cooking, the planning, all that kind of stuff if we're having a party or a get-together, a home group or whatever. And Tom is the social one, so that makes us a good team.
Well, I would like to give a little bit of a timeline in terms of my experience in this regard. But in the 1950s, when Eunice and I were in Minnesota, we hosted every Saturday night international students and had a meal prepared for them. Sometimes churches in town would help provide the meals, but nonetheless, we would host them in our home. And it was one of the most effective things I've ever experienced. After we left Campus Crusade, we had the privilege of spending 4 months with Francis Schaeffer and Ida Schaeffer at La Brie. And we saw in their example how they used hospitality in the home as a means of reaching the lives of many young people. And the evening meal was a very important aspect of their ministry. You think of Schaeffer, the books, and so forth, but really, one of the greatest things he ever did, and she ever did, was to teach us that one of the greatest tools we have for touching others for Christ, or just touching their lives, is our home. The home is a wonderful, wonderful tool. So when we came back to Mansfield and to our home here, we dedicated our house. We said, Lord, help us to wear out this house for you. And I would have to just say that we came close to it a couple of times. But nonetheless, Eunice, in terms of preparing meals and hosting young ladies in terms of the work-study program in the afternoon, and then having our evening meal, was a wonderful, wonderful means of touching the lives of a lot of young people. I can't tell you how many times after the evening meal and our brief, we always had a brief discussion of some sort. It was a friendship discussion. It wasn't a Christian discussion necessarily. It was just being friends, being interacting in terms of current events, reading Winnie the Pooh a couple of times, but just being there and getting to know each other. And then afterwards, I can think of the many occasions when I just had an opportunity to sit on the fence in the dusk, out in front of the house with one of these young participants and praying with them, sometimes even opening their hearts to the Lord. The home was a key to this. Monday of this past week, I was talking with Phil Tews, who for years was my pastoral person and was a wonderful, wonderful friend to me. And I said, what are you doing in your retirement years? And he said, well, this and that. And then he said, but I think the most effective thing we're doing is we have open house one night a week, and we invite our neighbors to come and bring their suppers or their whatever they've prepared, and we have a meal together at the house. And I said, how in the world do you do this and get neighbors to come in like this? And he said, well, we invite them. We have some of our Christian friends who come too, and we just talk. And I said, well, are you trying to win them to Christ? He said, no, we're not trying to win them to Christ directly at all. We're trying to be friends with our neighbors. We'll talk about whatever they're interested in. If they don't have anything of interest, we find an icebreaker, some question that we can interact on and have fun with. But we're learning to be friends with our neighbors and we'll see what happens. I said, well, do you ever have anything happen? He said, yeah. He said, sometimes they open doors and we pray. We pray with the neighbor. But he said, first of all, our goal is to be friends. And we want them to feel that. And we want to get acquainted. I would just like to say, I think our homes are one of the greatest tools we have to touch the lives of other people.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Well, I know we could probably do a whole seminar. Maybe this is an idea, a seminal idea for this. But I just want to thank you guys for coming up and sharing. So appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we just barely scratched the surface. I think of the hospitality, like Tom and Kathy have shown, to bring in foster kids over the years. I think of hospitality the Gardeners have shown. They've adopted, they've brought in foster kids. There's ways that we show hospitality, not just a meal, but are we willing to let our home be, rather than a fortress, are we willing to let our home be a mission base? And I remember in college, I read a book that challenged, I said, one of the problems with modern evangelicalism is that many people have had their home become a fortress against the world rather than a mission base to reach it. And I think that's what Ray is speaking about, is that, yes, our home is a sanctuary in many ways against all the stuff that is out there, but are we willing to open it up to the stranger, to the neighbor, to others, and use it as a mission base? And I think Ray really nailed that. It's our greatest asset in terms of outreach. And so as we've been talking about service this year and missions and evangelism and service to one another, I couldn't get through this year without speaking about hospitality. It's so key. So we're going to close with a video here that kind of wraps up that whole Jean Valjean. And what was the effect of this hospitality the priest showed to him? And how hospitality is so effective for evangelism. And how did that impact this very hardened guy who had been beaten down by the world and by literally others? He comes beaten. So if you could grab the light there, and we'll watch that, and then I'll close in prayer.
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far, and is the hour so late, that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears, here where I stand at the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they murdered Valjean when they chained me and left me for dead, just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world. This world that always hated me. Take an eye for an eye. Turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for. This is all I am now. One word from him and I'd be back beneath the lash upon the rack. Instead, he offers me my freedom. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. He told me that I have a soul. How does he know what spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching, but I fall. And the night is closing in. As I stare into the void, to the whirlpool of my shin. I'll escape now from that world, from the world of Shem Belshon. Shem Belshon is nothing now, and the story must begin.
We thank you that you can use something so simple as showing care and kindness to point others to you, to point others to your grace, to point others to a different option than serving self, to serve you. And so, Lord, help us to just leave here considering where and how we might make this a higher priority in our life, how we might adjust our lives to be intentional, to use the gifts you have, to be transformed by your grace so that we see others through your grace, that we might seek to actively bless others, both through our homes, our lives, our time, our words, our companionship. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now we go to the part of the morning we call Circle Church. Just wanted to correct one of the announcements. We do not have members class today. I saw that up there. So those of you that might be confused, it's not going to happen today. It'll resume next week. So feel free to go to your circle groups today if you're doing the members class. And we'll be doing that. The visitors group today, if you did come unattached, is the Fox group. So Jadea is already standing. They meet up in the lobby area here, so if you are not attached with any group or would like to check out the Fox group today, that would be a great opportunity for you. And also grab some coffee, and please remember to check your kids in to Sunday school. I'll be teaching them today. We're going to be talking about baptism. So, all right, you are welcome to go.